The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all sort of view this, the Christmas Day games year after year, is like a symbolic start for the NBA when people actually start to pay attention. And I think it stems back to the fact of you're sitting there on Christmas Day, the NBA season's going on, you know it's going on. It's just, it's the regular season, a lot of games left to be played. And then they give you some good games to watch. They give you some quality matchups like the 76ers who have been on a tear going up against the defending NBA champions, the Boston Celtics. And you're like, oh, hold on. There's some storylines here. There's some things to pay attention to. And then all of a sudden you look at the standings. You're like, the Cavs are 26-4. When did that happen? And that's when everybody, the average sports fan, your sort of average Joe, tunes in and starts to actually pay a little bit more attention. The NFL season winds down. And Cleveland, a lot easier when your team's 3-12. It just so happens. But I wonder now at the NFL if a lot of households were tuned into the NFL games, and the NBA almost has to look at this and find itself a point to rebrand themselves as when their season starts, when their ratings start to climb a little bit more, people start to pay more attention, national media attention, because you didn't have that start, it feels like. I think if you ask the average person, they were NFL yesterday, they were dialed into what should have been two pretty good games, and the NBA sort of took the backseat, at least until the night.
Well, they were NFL if they had a Netflix subscription, because I think that's true. The other part of this that we are angling away from. And I think that's the part of this that's going to continue to be really fascinating with this is I'm sure no matter what happens today, at some point we are going to see a tweet from Andrew Martian, John Allrand, one of those guys who follow sports media, that is going to have an absurd number of people who tuned in to watch that game, to watch the two games that were there, right? I'm sure we are going to get that. And I'm sure when that comes out, we're going to go, this is a success. Well done. The part that's really fascinating to me on this is that the only people who are really can tell you what the numbers that Netflix pulled to this game is Netflix. It's not like there's a secondary source that we can check. There's not like there's a secondary place that we could go to say, okay, how well did these games do? It's just Netflix who is going to go, oh, yeah, we had X amount of clicks. We had X amount of people watch for X amount of time. We peaked during Beyonce's halftime show. All of that kind of stuff in between there. But we're not going to have a secondary source that's going to come in and go, yeah, that makes sense. So really, we're not going to know how successful the NFL is on Netflix until 3 years down the road. And so if I'm the NBA, I'm looking at that part of it, and I'm going, okay, so how many people were really going to Netflix? How many people are really going, well, I guess I got to get a Netflix subscription so that I can watch the NFL on such and such? Not to mention, it is Christmas Day. It's when a lot of families get together. Typically, these things are hosted by people who are a little bit older and not as tech savvy as all we are. And so there's also that part of it, because I know if I would have done that at our house, I would have dealt with my folks going, you know, like, wait, Netflix, do we have Netflix? Scott, Can you check to see if we have Netflix? Go to the password thing. Do we have that? I don't know if we have that. Okay, can you sign up for it? Well, can we use your account? Wait, they cracked down on it, so we can't use your account? Well, do we really want to get that? Like, you're playing that whole game in between there as well.
I also wonder, like, so the idea that these streaming services hand out, like, free trials, like they're going out of business, right? You get the free week. If you didn't have a Netflix subscription or you're not sitting there going on Christmas Day going, oh, well, got an email here that was never associated with a Netflix account.
Yeah.
Is there probably a 7-day trial sitting out there where I just need it for Christmas Day?
There might be.
Probably.
You're right. There might be. And the NBA side of it, I kind of want to see where all of this plays out before we make any kind of vast conclusions or anything like that of, oh yeah, this is where the NBA is going to tank because the NFL was on there. Because making your product harder to be seen doesn't exactly bring in more people. Now, making your product easy to be seen but not on as often brings in a whole lot of people. That's the part of it I'm really interested in. So, I typically, if it was me, man, and I was at home and I was watching it, I probably would have had the NBA on, and I probably would have had it just because it is the unofficial kickoff, and the matchups are usually outstanding. And I'm not gonna lie, I didn't get a chance to see a whole bunch of it yesterday, but I did see some of Steph going absolutely nuts, against LeBron and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, that game was such marquee. I mean, that's what you're asking for.
Yeah, I mean, that was the prime LeBron versus Steph Curry, despite the fact that both of them are, the aging superstars in the NBA. I think drew in a lot, but the competition that you had with a lot of the NFL games though was like the NBA almost, and probably unintentionally here, but taking the backseat of. Well, we'll just take the later slot. We'll have people pay attention to the later games. Yeah. I mean, how many people are tuning in for Spurs-Knicks?
But that's always how it's built every Christmas.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah, the early games are never like the big holy mackerel games. It's always like, you kind of get the up-and-coming kids there. Like typically that early game, like Victor Wembanyama in that game, perfect. That's for the NBA heads. That's for the serious, like, I have League Pass and I've been watching this guy all year, and now I get to sit down and watch him on, TNT, ABC, whatever it was on. I could see this guy right here, right now, ESPN. Like, that's how this usually goes. And then as the night goes on, they build it. And the 10 o'clock game is typically like the West Coast NBA head game. Yeah. That's like the Sacramento Kings special. Or like like back in the day, the Phoenix Sun special. Like, if you wanted to see Steve Nash, you knew that was coming at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that was kind of what they got. It was Suns Nuggets at the 10 o'clock slot here.
That's a 10 o'clock game right there. NBA heads only. The Phoenix Suns trying to figure out exactly who they are. Bradley Beal being 60% of what Bradley Beal was. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker trying to carry him as Nikola Jokic does everything. And you're sitting there just cackling at Nikola Jokic passes.
So I don't even know that it kills, this entire thing though, kills NBA ratings as much as it's just the sort of media flip over to the NBA. Of like, this is now where I start to care about the NBA, which, all things considered, like, as long as the ratings are there, is it a big change for the NBA? Maybe not, but I think they put a lot of value in being sort of that Christmas Day, okay, now everyone pays attention, you get a lot of the talk, and the build-up for the season goes. It's not so much that, okay, so it's not Christmas Day, it'll never happen, but it's there's always going to be that sort of symbolic start for people, because when you mesh and you collide with the NFL, you lose out on that battle. Until you have one of these big days. Christmas Day was sort of their pocket to be like, okay, the NFL season's still happening, but we get to chime in. Now it's almost, do I have to wait for the NFL season to be over?
And it was that level of politeness that came with it that was like, no. The NBA can have their Christmas. We'll take everything else. And then Roger Goodell was like, forget it. Nope, we're not being nice. That's ours now. We're going to come take it.
Yeah, for $150 million, I'll very nicely take that.
We'll let you come take that. And, like, that's the thing with it. So I wonder, all right, so there's a generation gap a little bit between us.
Right.
I'm 36, you're...
23.
Okay. So how does your generation consume the NBA? Because the funny thing that comes with it is the fact that the NBA is, it's popular. People pay attention to it. Like, you could walk up to a lot of people and have a long conversation of it, but people are not locked in on the games. And they're not doing that stuff because they can read the box scores. They could go onto YouTube the next day and catch the shortened versions of everything, catch the highlights. Like, when I used to coach hoops, I would have these kids coming up to me all the time going, oh my gosh, did you see what Harden did last night? And I'd look at them and be like, you stayed up till 1 o'clock in the morning to watch the Houston Rockets and all that kind of, to see him go off the like, no, I just watched it on YouTube this morning during history class. And I'm like, well, you should probably pay attention to history. But anyway, yes, I did see what happened with Harden. So, like, there's just, like, this whole shift that is taking place of this generation that's like, I may not sit down for 2.5 hours and lock into this stuff, but I know what's going on, and I know who's good, I know why they're good, and I know who I got to pay attention to.
Yeah, so like my generation, I would say, is like the YouTube generation of, okay, here's the game highlights. Here's
right.
I think you've even evolved probably as you go farther down the line with like high school kids now and younger that are probably consuming a lot more of it on like TikTok.
Yeah.
Of like, here's the highlights. You get a 2-minute clip of every point that Steph Curry scored last night.
Right.
And that's that. Like, I'm sitting there watching 10-minute full videos of the highlights. And yeah, that's what I was doing in history class. I mean,
exactly.
Come on. That was the better thing to do. But it's just like, you consume it, but I still feel I was someone who was always watching the full games too. Like obviously you had to pick and choose, but like if there was a Cavs game on, I could sit down and watch the full thing. I might be in the minority, but I would still do that. I still feel like for a lot of people and more maybe NBA heads that still want to do that though. Like even my age, I know plenty of people my age, a lot of my friends still sit there and watch a full NBA game and watch a majority of them.
Yeah.
At least Cavs games or whoever they want to root on that night or whoever they're you know tossing a bet on or whatever it is, they'll sit down and watch the full game. It's not just box scores and everything else. But you get to that point of, okay, if you're only consuming it through TikTok, like it's a bigger question of like the NBA regular season. We have that debate.
Yeah.
I mean, more often than we need to probably.
And,
but
right. And that's where I was kind of like thinking through this whole thing because I know everybody always wants to trash the NBA for ratings. You know, that's always their big thing. And yet somehow, some way, they find a boatload of cash every time it's time to get these, you know, the new rights deals up. You know, all of a sudden it's like, well, the ratings are terrible. These ratings are in a tank. And all of a sudden ESPN is just like rolling in the wheelbarrow filled with gold and dumping it on the ground in front of Adam Silver. Like, for somehow, some way, as much as we want to trash these things, if they're so bad, why are people paying for them? You know, it's always like the part of this that I feel like we want this myth to be there that the NBA is failing, and we want this myth to be in the middle, and like it's just not the case. It's just not.
No, it's fine. It's just but not by traditional avenue that the NBA succeeds. It does draw the question then, though, if the NBA, so if the NFL, if we find out, either by just paying attention to national media and everything that goes on, whether or not they actually start to talk about the NBA more, whether or not just local media starts to talk about the NBA more, if they feel like the NFL on Christmas hinders them, do they need to make a change and find a different spot? Because I would say waiting until the end of the NFL season, while maybe not detrimental, it definitely doesn't help your product.
No. No, it does not. And especially when you've got 82 games to sell, you've got a lot of issues that are causing people on top of it to not want to pay attention, including the fact that it's like, all right, Thursday night, marquee game, here we go. We got the Boston Celtics going up against the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is going to be great. I'm so locked in on this one. Wait, Tatum's out? Brown's out? Load management. Wait, Darius Garland's out? Back? Evan Mobley ankle? What? What's happening here? We've been playing for, you know. And that's the thing that they've got to figure out. It is becoming the detrimental that, like, you want to sit down and you want to watch these games. And you want to be locked in and you want to see great people do great things, and you want to see greatness in front of you because that's the stuff that makes you want to watch, and that's the stuff that 10 years down the road you're going to be bouncing your grandkids on your knees and telling them about having to watch, you know, or 30 years down the road bouncing your grandkids on your knee going, I remember watching Donovan Mitchell hit a turnaround jumper from the free throw line that hit every part of the rim and dropped and changed the momentum of a great game that we had. Like, they've got to figure out how we can put these games on national TV, and you guys need to play. And they need to get these guys to play, even on the other ones, so when you bring people to the games, you're there for a reason, and you're there to see them. And that's the big thing NBA's got to figure out. I think the three-point shooting, the game itself, yeah, is it getting a little homogenized? Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's similar. Everybody copies everything. In the same way that NFL offenses will all look the same, in the same way that everybody is playing cover two on defense, you know, like, it all borrows from everybody else, right? Are there too many threes? Sure, I'll listen to it. I think the people who whine too much about too many threes really need to go back to 1970 and watch those games before they complain way too much about too many three-pointers and all that stuff so that they get the fresh memory in their head about how everybody walked the ball up the floor and then dumped it in the post as that guy dribbled 13 to 15 times and kind of hit some kind of a turnaround jumper or something along those lines. Like, yeah, I think some people need to have a brief refresher on all those things. But to sit here and trash the NBA and the product that it's become, boy, I think it's a pretty entertaining product, Jake.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, the highlights definitely speak for themselves. I enjoy watching the game still. I do think that when you talk load management, the Cavs are probably every NBA star who takes their load management's like worst nightmare. because the Cavs are playing night in and night out because Kenny Atkinson properly utilizes his minutes. So they're probably not very happy about that. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, JP said something on Tuesday about the Cavs. It just irked me. I want to see if Dan feels differently about it. 216-474-0092. We'll get to your calls on the other side. Hang in there. It's Jake Volnick. It's Dan Menigan right here on 92.3 The Fan.